I know how to email. I can email. God said to me, okay, kid, you're on the block. Let's see what you go for. And I've even looked at what happens if I go to prison. I'm going to be there. And I'll go through that. And this piece will drop. And I will have learned great lessons. And I hope that the next time it comes around, I continue filing. No. What I mean by that is that, yeah, there's a prudent way to do these things. And I think the prudent way, as Commander said, is to work out of a legal system that minimizes your tax or maybe even nullifies it, protects your assets, and you don't have the confrontation with the IRS. Why do I need the grief? I did it in a time when it was a lot of circumstances, and it wasn't new, but I was given certain guidance or certain information that I believed to be true. It actually took me 5 years of study before I was convinced, because I was ready in 1989 to file all back taxes. I had had everything set up, but I had studied far enough where I saw the fraud there. I thought, this is not right. And so then I had to... That compelled me then to take the next step and the next step. And then I started studying Constitution, came in contact with the contact, had conversations at great length with Grandma, who taught me constitutional law, read and met with Eustace. I hosted Eustace and George Green in a seminar in Honolulu. You know that one? One of those. But what I'm saying is that then it just kept leading me to the study of law, God's law. And if you're following God's law, you can't break man's law if you know what God's law is and if you follow it. But the Talmud is alive and well. Yeah?
Well, we hand it to you, because I think about just yesterday afternoon, late, sitting in there being brought back before that judge, and he's sitting way up there, you know, up on the throne, and now you are going to make this settlement, this happy settlement that you've agreed to. The entire demeanor of the court is such that you are going to meet this settlement that I've just told you are going to agree to, and it is so intimidating. You're so confused and you're hurt. You have seen injustice,
yes,
in such a way that you are totally wiped out by it. And everybody around you is, except, of course, the judge. And I thought we were going to probably end up in jail anyway, because he starts with EJ. Now, Mr. Ecker, do you know what's taking place here? And EJ took a deep breath and he said, oh, perfectly.
That's good.
Well. And then he settled down to the wisdom of the moment and just answered yes or no as was appropriate. It's like, do you swear to tell the truth? Oh, I do, yes. No, yes, whatever you want, sir. But I think back when we're going to file this Chapter 42, and I can't remember if we ever got as... We got as far as filing it,
yeah,
in the federal court against, everybody in here will appreciate this, Judge Coyle. Well, we fortunately got it out of there again before the hatchet or guillotine fell. But, man, I don't know how you had the tenacity or bravery or audacity, whatever bad word I can think of, to go in there.
I don't either. I
It's nuts is what it is. Pure insanity.
Well, you know, there's something that happens, though, where you really... I looked at all these different ways of doing things, and it just seemed... It seemed like that was the recourse I needed to do. You know, I don't know. It was like it was okay with me. You know, I was sorry after I ended up in jail that weekend that I had shocked Melissa and, you know, all the people around you. See, that's the thing. It's one thing to do it yourself, but then look at the impact it has on your family. I would dare say what I did in 1984 1994, when I stopped filing, destroyed my second marriage. Well, I destroyed it. But I'm saying that the turmoil that I lived with for those years created such a difference between us that it drew us, I mean, it just, a woman can't live with an insane man. I was insane. And Melissa now knows that I'm sane, I hope, yes?
Let's hear it from Melissa.
Can we go off tape?
And get to the truth here? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ron, wish you thank you.
Telling us your story.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening. And I appreciate your love and support. I felt it, cards and telephone calls and from Ellen here, cards, she had sent something. And I just knew that I had a support group and I could connect into it. Of course, when you're connected to the higher God presence that we all have, and we can do that. And when you do that, it just creates this strength in your body that just stands there. And then you can focus and you do your work and you just do the best you can. And that's my mission right now, is that I just wake up in the morning and say, okay, what's ahead? I'll make my best effort. And then the challenge for me is to turn everything over to the hands of God. Janet.
I think that the main thing, not just the knowledge to receive from it, but I think the main thing is that Commander has spoken before about how we need to turn around the court system if we want anything good to come from this planet. And I've had some pretty bad experiences, of course, in court also.
Yes.
I can relate to E.J. and Doris. I can relate to you. The judge was pounding his fist on the table, this big bench he's behind, and his bailiff's running after me, and he's telling me he's going to throw me in jail one minute, and next minute, you know, his bailiff's running after me in the elevator, and I'm doing a roundabout with her. And so I think that they go after what is important to you, or what you appreciate the most in your life, because that's what Satan has to do, is to bring us down to his level. So I think that's the main thing, is that you are, by your appearance in court, you're turning it around. So I wouldn't
thank you. That's great.
In saying that.
Thank you. I think, and I have to acknowledge Mr. Kottmeyer, because Mr. Kottmeyer in this series of tapes goes back to the papers at Madison. You know, Madison took copious notes at the Constitution as they were convening. And as a matter of fact, the notes that Madison did are actually the intent of the Constitution. So if anybody wants to know what the intent of a section is, you go back to Madison's notes to read them, and you'll find out what the intent was. Madison had written that if anything will destroy this country, it's sophistry of the courts. Sophistry is a word called deceit or fraud. A sophist is one who will present information deceitfully or fraudulently. So sophistry of the courts is what we have. Kottmeyer also concurs with what you say, that until we address that issue, and I think that too, each of us, as we stand before the court, and we bring what we know as best we can before it, they have to look at it. And that judge that's going to look at that on the 15th is going to have to look at what Mr. Bilger put together. And I kind of stirred the soup a little bit, added a little pepper and maybe some onions. And he's going to have to look at that. They're going to have to look. It's going to go on record. And at some point, maybe an appeals court's going to have to look at it. And they may bury it, but the truth is there. They're going to say that there's another one of those crazy people. But that I think is what we have to do, is be willing to, if it's called upon us to do that, to stand. I went back when this guy Kottmeyer was, talking with Grandma, we talked a lot about what the founders did. I mean, the men and women of those days, they pledged their life, their liberty, and their sacred, their money and everything.
And most of them actually did lose it.
Yeah. And here I am in 1998, and I'll tell you, one of the reasons, my daughter, Cynthia, just graduated from St. Lawrence University, upstate New York, and I'm so proud of her. She knows these things. She might not know the IRS like I know, but she knows the infraction of the privacy on computers and all of this other issue. I mean, she has been around me enough where she knows what's going on, and she says all of her colleagues do. The young kids, most of them do know the fraud of the government.
Great.
And I had a guy come into me I'd never met before from another fellow that, and he was about 27-year-old kid, and he's working with computers, and we started talking. He knew, I'd never heard of him, never, just a young kid. He knew stuff that was about law, and he's self-trained. He says, I know that this is terrible. We can't continue like that. So here I am at my stage in life. If I could give back to God and my country something of thank you very much with dentistry or be it law or be it in anything, be it here or be it in Honolulu, that's what I would like to do. I'm honored and privileged to be able to do that. This gentleman, yes?
What you were telling about why you are doing that. In my experience, it is because you are the person who can bring these things the best in a court. Well, this is not everybody who can be free, don't feel intimidated in the front of a judge or in a court. Well, this is why you are doing it.
My lesson, I think, in this life is exactly that, because when I was a kid, I used to always run from confrontations. I had an experience where I almost burned down a building when I was 5 years old. A bunch of my cronies on Oakenwald in Chicago, it was a winter day and it was cold in the afternoon, so we decided to build a bonfire, and we got all this paper together, and we did it underneath the first floor wooden structure. The back porches of this huge 50 apartment, three-story building. You know, in the old days, they had these big horseshoe-shaped apartment buildings with a lot of different pods. They were all connected in a big courtway. Well, we were in the back, and Agnes Naughton came out and saw me and Billy Braze and the other kids I was hanging out with building this fire underneath her porch, and she screamed, I took off for the other. I don't know where they went. I split. That was the way I've always handled problems. With any confrontation, I would always run. And later that night, when I went back to my home, when the sun had gone behind the clouds a little bit further, I went home and there was the fire chief sitting in my dad's front room. So I had to confront it. And that was always the issue for me, is that confronting what I had done. And it's really a pleasure to be able to do that now, and to know that I'm still going to go through those feelings of wanting to run and that little turmoil, but to just say I can do it. This is my lesson, and it dovetails with that. Exactly. I need to stand before the judge and speak it. Okay. Well, I appreciate. We just love being here, and thank you for your graciousness. And hope. Hello.